Good afternoon. We'll follow the order of service as it's printed in our bulletin. We begin with the insert and the litany for Ash Wednesday. Please stand. Dear brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ, on this day the church begins a holy season of prayerful and repentant reflection. Our attention is especially directed to the holy sufferings and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. From ancient times, the season of Lent has been kept as a time of special devotion, self-denial, and humble repentance, born of a faithful heart that dwells confidently on His Word and draws from it life and hope. Let us pray that our dear Father in heaven, for the sake of His beloved Son and in the power of His Holy Spirit, might richly bless this Lenten tide for us, so that we may come to Easter with glad hearts and keep the feast in sincerity and truth. O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
have mercy.
O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
hear us.
God the Father in heaven,
have mercy.
God the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy.
God the Holy Spirit,
have mercy.
Be gracious to us.
Spare us, O Lord.
Be gracious to us.
Help us, O Lord.
By the mystery of your holy incarnation, by your holy nativity, by your baptism, fasting, and temptation, by your agony and bloody sweat, by your cross and passion, by your precious death and burial, by your glorious resurrection and ascension, and by the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter.
Help us, good Lord.
In all time of our tribulation, in all time of our prosperity, in the hour of death and in the day of judgment.
Help us, good Lord.
We poor sinners implore you
to hear us, O Lord.
To prosper the preaching of your word, to bless our prayer and meditation, to strengthen and preserve us in the true faith, to give heart to our sorrow and strength to our repentance.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To draw all to yourself, to bless those who are instructed in the faith, to watch over and console the poor, the sick, the distressed, the lonely, the forsaken, the abandoned, and all who stand in need of our prayers, to give abundant blessings to all works of mercy, and to have mercy on us all.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To turn our hearts to you, to turn the hearts of our enemies, persecutors, and slanderers, and graciously to hear our prayers.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God,
we implore you to hear us.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world,
have mercy.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world.
Have mercy.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world.
Grant us your peace.
O Christ,
hear us.
O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
have mercy.
O Lord,
have mercy.
O God, you desire not the death of sinners, but rather that they turn from their wickedness and live. We implore you to have compassion on the frailty of our mortal nature, for we acknowledge that we are dust, and to dust we shall return. Mercifully pardon our sins, that we may obtain the promises you have laid up for those who are repentant, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated for our opening hymn, hymn 608. Hymn 608.
Thank you.
290. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,
Amen.
I will go to the altar of God.
God, my exceeding joy.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
You may be seated. Beloved in the Lord, it is our intention to receive the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, in which he strengthens our faith by giving us his body to eat and his blood to drink. Therefore, it is proper that we diligently examine ourselves, as St. Paul urges us to do. For this holy sacrament has been instituted for the special comfort of those who are troubled because of their sin, and who humbly confess their sins, fear God's wrath, and hunger and thirst for righteousness. But when we examine our hearts and consciences, we find nothing in us but sin and death, from which we are incapable of delivering ourselves. Therefore, our God, Jesus Christ, has had mercy on us. For our benefit, he became man, so that he might fulfill for us the whole will and law of God, and, to deliver us, took upon himself our sin and the punishment we deserve. So that we may more confidently believe this and be strengthened in the faith and in holy living, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, broke it, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you." It is as if he said, "I became man, and all that I do and suffer is for your good. As a pledge of this, I give you my body to eat." In the same way, he also took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." Again, it is as if he said, "I have had mercy on you by taking into myself all your iniquities. I give myself into death, shedding my blood to obtain grace and forgiveness of sins, and to comfort and establish the New Testament, which gives forgiveness and everlasting salvation. As a pledge of this, I give you my blood to drink." Therefore, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup, confidently believing this word and promise of Christ, dwells in Christ and Christ in him, and has eternal life. We should also do this in remembrance of him, showing his death, that he was delivered for our offenses and raised for our justification. Giving him our most heartfelt thanks, we take up our cross and follow him, and according to his commandment, love one another as he loved us. For we are all one bread and one body, even as we are all partakers of this one bread and drink from the one cup. For just as the one cup is filled with wine of many grapes, and one bread made from countless grains, so also we, being many, are one body in Christ. Because of him, we love one another, not only in word, but in deed and in truth. May the Almighty and merciful God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, by his Holy Spirit, accomplish this in us. Amen. Having heard the word of God, let us confess our sins to him, imploring him for the sake of our Son, Jesus Christ, to grant us forgiveness. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. God be merciful to you and strengthen your faith.
Amen.
Do you believe that the forgiveness I speak is not my forgiveness, but God's?
Yes.
Let it be for you as you believe. In this den, by the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Go in peace.
Amen.
The divine service continues then with another hymn. You may be seated. Hymn 610. God's service to us continues with Divine Service Setting 3. We pick up on page 186 with the introit, page 186. Please stand.
Is now and will be forever. Amen.
Us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you despise nothing you have made and forgive the sins of all who are penitent. Create in us new and contrite hearts, that lamenting our sin and acknowledging our wretchedness, we may receive from you full pardon and forgiveness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for Ash Wednesday is from Jonah chapter 3. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you." So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he called out, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least of them. The word reached the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he issued a proclamation and published through Nineveh, "By the decree of the king and his nobles, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and let them call out mightily to God. Let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger so that we may not perish." When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We speak together the gradual printed on your bulletin. Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me. For in you my soul takes refuge. He will send from heaven and save me. He will put to shame him who tramples on me. The epistle is from 2 Peter chapter 1. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 6th chapter. Jesus said, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." This is the Gospel of the Lord. We confess our faith in the Nicene Creed on page 191.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day rose again according to the scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
You may be seated for our sermon hymn, number 607. From depths of woe I cry to thee. Hymn 607.
Grace and peace, love and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. Text for our meditation this Ash Wednesday. The Old Testament reading we heard a moment ago, Jonah 3, verses 1 through 10, especially this verse. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he called out, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, on this day, when we think about God's gift of repentance, on this day when sackcloth and ashes are the norm, on this day when God is teaching us how to live humbly as His children, on this day of sorrow and certainty, we turn our attention to the prophet Jonah. Many of us know the story of Jonah, or at least a part of the biblical account. Jonah being swallowed by the big fish. Why would Jonah be the focus for our Ash Wednesday meditation? Jonah is a man much like you or me. Jonah's a child of God. He believes in the one true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham, the father of all nations, through whom all nations would be blessed. This is Jonah's faith. He believes in a Savior who will come. And God calls Jonah. He calls him and puts him in the office. He gives him a vocation to go and preach. What a great high honor to go and preach to the people of Nineveh. Not such a great honor. Imagine on call day, and the pastor hears that he is the new candidate. He will be the pastor in Iran with a mission opportunity for the Taliban. Jonah was not happy. God said, "Go. Go and preach my word to the people of Nineveh. Go east." And what does Jonah do? He gets on a boat and goes west. He does exactly the opposite thing that God calls him to do. God is not pleased. The one who created the universe and who is in charge of the water, the wind, and the waves stokes up the water and the waves. The people on board the ship, they are frantic. They think they're going to drown. They begin throwing the cargo overboard to lighten the ship to no avail. Everybody cries out to their gods for deliverance except Jonah. Remember where Jonah is? Jonah is deep in the bowels of the ship, sound asleep. Jonah is oblivious to the anger of God. He is oblivious to the circumstances around him. He is quite content. Before long, the other sailors wake him up, explain to him what's happening. "Call out to your God if you have one. Maybe he will deliver us." And then Jonah comes clean. He confesses to the other sailors that he is the cause of what's happening, because his God is the true God. His God is the God who created the universe, who is in charge of the wind and the waves. Now the sailors are really afraid. Jonah says, just throw me overboard. Everything will be fine. But they won't do it. They're more righteous than Jonah. They paddle and they row frantically. But soon it becomes clear that the boat, the ship, is going to sink. So they pray out to God, the one true God, do not hold us accountable for this man's blood. And they throw Jonah overboard. Immediately, the wind stops. The waves go down. The sea is calm. And the formerly pagan sailors now get on their knees and they call out in prayer and praise and thanksgiving to the one true God. Jonah? Jonah is sinking to the depths of the sea. But God is not done with Jonah yet. God provides a giant fish to swallow him up. Who knows what's going through Jonah's mind? Will my torture not even be complete? At least I was going to have a quick death. Now, inside the belly of this fish, can you imagine? Can you imagine the darkness? Can you imagine the smell? Can you imagine the silence? Except for an occasional gurgle. Because the fish now has giant indigestion. Jonah seizes this three-day opportunity in the belly of the fish. He recalls the word of God. He recalls the promises of God. In Jonah chapter 2, we have recorded a shortened version of Jonah's prayer from inside the belly of the fish. He confesses his sin. He confesses his faith. He cries out to God for grace and mercy and deliverance. And God, who is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, has mercy on Jonah. The fish vomits Jonah out. Where? Nineveh. This is where our text picks up. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Do you think maybe Jonah had a little bit different attitude at this point in time? Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you. So Jonah goes. He goes to this great city of Nineveh. This city known for its pagan worship, for its idolatry, for its violence, for its greed and corruption. And most of all, for its hatred of anyone who calls God, the one true God, their God. Jonah goes, and we have recorded for us a three-word synopsis of what Jonah preached. He didn't just preach these three words. He calls the people of Nineveh to repentance. Yet 40 days. Yet 40 days. In 40 days, the one true God will come and destroy you and destroy your great city. Why? Because your sins have risen up to God like a stench. You have not only hurt yourself by your words, your thoughts, and your actions. You have not only hurt your neighbor by your words and thoughts and actions. You have sinned against God. And God takes notice. 40 days, and everything that you see will be gone. That's not the only message Jonah preached. He also preached that this one true God is a God of mercy and a God of grace. A God who has no pleasure in the death of anyone. A God who is slow to anger. A God who is abounding in steadfast love. A God who has promised to send a Savior. And if you repent of your sins and cling to this Savior, you too will have forgiveness, life, and salvation. Word eventually reached the king of Nineveh. And the word of God penetrated his hard heart. He called for a nationwide fast, a nationwide day of ashes and sackcloth. Who knows? The king says, who knows? Maybe God will relent. Who knows? Jonah knew, and that's what he preached. And before long, the people of Nineveh knew as well. God relented from the disaster that he had promised. The people of Nineveh believed the word of God that Jonah preached. The people of Nineveh, including their king, were true believers. That's a far greater miracle than Jonah being kept alive in the belly of a fish for 3 days. Sinners believing the good news and being delivered from the pits of hell. My friends, we're a lot like Jonah, aren't we? Baptized children of God, adopted into God's family, the church. God has graciously given us his word, and he tells us how he wants us to live, how to act, how to think as his children, as Christians. God says, do this. And we do that. God says, go east, and we go west. You know what I mean. God's word says, husbands, love your wives even to the point of death. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. And what do? Our selfishness, our pride, they trump the clear word of God. Children, obey your parents as in the Lord. Parents, do not exasperate your children. Bring them up in the fear and nurture and knowledge of the Lord. God tells us what to do, and what do? We go the opposite way. We provoke our children. We disobey our parents and other authorities. We create all kinds of idols and say, here they are, worship these. God calls us, whether we are married or not, to live chaste and decent lives. He tells us how to live as children of God. And what do? We dive in deeply to this sex-charged world. Anything and everything except one man and one woman for life. The list could go on and on, couldn't it? We could talk about how we are to explain everything in the kindest possible way. But we would rather gossip and tear down. God says, forgive one another as I have forgiven you. And yet we become masters at harboring grudges and hate. God calls us as his children to live holy lives. And we get on the ship with Jonah and we go the other direction. My friends, today, on this day we call Ash Wednesday, God calls us to repent. And repentance is more than feeling sorry for our sins. It certainly includes that, but it is much more than that. God calls us in repentance to be sorry and to be sure. God's call to repentance is a call to sorrow over our sins and to be certain in the forgiveness, life, and salvation that only God can provide. My friends, God loved the people of Nineveh so much that He raised up a preacher to preach to them law and gospel. How much does God love you? He loves you so much that He sent His one and only Son into the world for you. Instead of wiping you and me and the whole world out because of our gross and persistent sins, God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. God sends His Son, and He lays on His Son all of the punishment that we have kindled, all of the anger that we deserve. Everything that we have done is now laid on Jesus in our stead. Jesus pays the penalty we owe. Jesus pays it in full. Not with gold or silver or Bitcoin, but with His holy precious blood and His innocent suffering and death. Jesus spends 3 days in the belly of the earth, just like Jonah spent 3 days in the belly of the fish. And on that first Easter Sunday, the ground vomits up Jesus. He who was dead is now alive, never to die again. Jesus, crucified and risen for you. He delivers this deliverance at the baptismal font. He marks you as His own. He wraps you with the robe of His righteousness. And He loves you enough that He has called flawed pastors to preach to you the same message that Jonah preached to the sailors on the ship and the people of Nineveh. Yet 40 days. My friends, take this time and reflect upon your own thoughts, words, and deeds. Take this time and reflect upon who you are as a child of God. For all of the places where we fall short of God's demands of perfection, pray that God would use His Word not to justify our own actions, but to humbly repent, to be truly sorry for our sins, and to be absolutely certain that for the sake of Jesus, our sins are forgiven. My friends, on this day, when we reflect upon God's gift of repentance, may God bless us with sorrow over our sins and certainty in the forgiveness, life, and salvation that Jesus brings. May God grant it to us all. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our lives, our repentance in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Having heard the word of God, we are bold to cry out, begging God for a new heart. We continue with our offertory. Please stand. Welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship today. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or the internet. We pray that the good news of God's gift of Jesus would be your repentant joy today and always. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings.
We continue with the prayer of the church. Please stand. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we acknowledge your great goodness toward us and praise you for the mercy and grace that our eyes have seen, our ears have heard, and our hearts have known. We sincerely repent of the sins of this day and those in the past. Pardon our offenses, correct and reform what is lacking in us, and help us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Inscribe your law upon our hearts and equip us to serve you with a holy and blameless life. May each day remind us of the coming of the night when no one can work. In the emptiness of this present age, keep us united by a living faith through the power of your Holy Spirit. with him who is the resurrection and the life, that we may escape the eternal bitter pains of condemnation. By your Holy Spirit, bless the preaching of your word and the administration of your sacraments. Preserve these gifts to us and to all Christians. Guard and protect us from all dangers to body and soul. Grant that we may, with faithful perseverance, receive from you our sorrows as well as our joys, knowing that health and sickness, riches and poverty, and all things come by permission of your fatherly hand. Keep us this day under your protective care and preserve us, securely trusting in your everlasting goodness and love, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our service continues with the service of the sacrament, page 194.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he, blessed is he, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
We stand and sing the Nunc Dimittis.
Lord, thou lettest love thy servant depart. Oh.
thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And
bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
You may be seated for our closing hymn, number 616.
Again, welcome in the name of Jesus. We'll keep our announcements short this evening. If you didn't get the Good Shepherd news and notes from this last Sunday, there's a stack in the back, all the activities and events in the days and weeks ahead. The new Lenten devotionals are out. They begin today and run through Easter Saturday. So great tool for your family or private devotions. I would also encourage you to take your bulletin home with you and to especially use the Ash Wednesday litany as a part of your Lenten journey to the cross and empty tomb. We have fellowship meal serving right now. You're all invited. And this is the first. We'll have five more of these Wednesdays where we'll worship at 4 p.m. and 6:30 with midweek confirmation and fellowship meal in between. And we pray that this is a great blessing for you and for your family. Are we doing Jonah tonight after church, Pastor or Vicar?
We plan on it.
Okay. The Bible study Wednesday evenings after church has been on Jonah and will continue to be on Jonah through the season of Lent. So you're invited for that as well. Lifelight tomorrow at 1 o'clock, studying James and Jude.
Correct.
All right.
And I want to point out, too, our new pulpit and lectern pyramids. Some of our quilters have made those, and we're going to try and make the entire set of colors, and we'll also work on altar pyramids to match them. So if you're interested in learning a little bit more about that or even helping a little bit financially, those are made by some of our quilters. I think they look pretty sharp, so make sure you tell them how great they look.
The McKinneys have put together the meal for tonight, the fundraising thing that we're doing with that meal is some kitchen improvements. We need a new exhaust fan and hood in the kitchen. So the estimated cost are somewhere between $6,000 and $12,000 for this project. So prayerfully consider being generous as we it's going to take a lot of Lenten meals otherwise. But we pray that this project would see its fulfillment in our lifetime. Have a great day and week and Lenten season in the Lord Jesus Christ.